We're holding on Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, the second line of the wide lines. Good morning, Avi Moshe. We're holding on Kuf Yud Amud Aleph, the second line of the wide lines. Gemara says, Omar Ula. We're in the middle of talking about this matter of zugos, that it's dangerous, or it was considered dangerous in those times to eat or drink things in pairs. So the question was, how we have dalad kosis, isn't that pairs, isn't that zugos? And we had a few different answers. It's leil shimurim, or the kos shabracha doesn't count to make a bad odd number, or everyone is considered a mitzvah by itself, and therefore they don't combine together in the first place. So we're in the middle of discussing this matter of zugos. So Omar Ola, asara kosis ein behem mishum zugos. If you drink 10 cups of wine or whatever, then there's no issue of zugos in it. And why dafka 10, even though 10 is an even number? So Marsha mentions, first of all, 10 is already a new level of numbers. It's like not units anymore, it's tens. Also, Bechlal, we have Astiri Yakodesh, the tenth is holy, so therefore Shadim or Mazikim or Kishuf or whatever don't have any power over it. So 10 cups, then there's no issue of zugos. So the Gemara says, Ula the Taimei. Ula is going according to his own shita elsewhere. Da'oma Ula, va'amrilav masnisetana. Ula says, or some say, we learn in a b'raisa, asora kosis tiknu chachamim besa oval. The chachamim made a takana that in a besa oval, when people are sitting with him for the first meal after the levaya, they should give him 10 cups of wine. We don't do that nowadays, but in those times, there was a takana that they should give him 10 cups of wine. The reason being, and because drinking that amount of wine helps make him feel better. It helps take the edge off his grief a little bit. The Gemara in Ksubas talks about they have 3 before the meal and 3 during the meal and 4 after the meal, whatever. So you have 10 altogether. So it says all of the Isak Dayda Hasora Kosis Yeshban Mishum Zugis. Now, if you were to say that there was a danger with 10 kosis, that there's a danger of zugis, Heichi Kaimin Abanim Takinu Milsa Da Osili De Sakana. Then how would the Chachamim have made a takana in the first place that could expose a person to danger? So it must be that 10, there's no danger in it. Aval Tmanya Yeshban Mishum Zugis. But Ula continues, if you have 2, 4, 6, or 8. Then there is a danger of zugos. One thing is, by the way, there's an explanation from Rabbeinu Yonah brought in the Rosh later on in our perek in connection with something involving Morer that. We're not always going to say that the Chachamim are going to prevent a person from doing something that might be dangerous. After all, we're saying over here, yes, there is a danger of zugos, but it's not the danger is not that great. But when it comes to being the sakin, something as a mitzvah, then the Chachamim have to be more careful and take even less likely things into consideration. And therefore, so the question was, how would they be able to do that? And therefore, the answer must be that 10 kosis, there's no problem of zugos. But says Ula, 8 there is. Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna Dami Tavayu. Now, Rav Chista and Rav Bar Rav Huna both say no. 8, there's no problem of Zugis either. Because let's look at the words of Birkas Koyanim. You have the first Pasuk of Birkas Koyanim has 3 words, the second 5, the third 7. Now, Marsha explains like this. Altogether, Birkas Koyanim has 60 letters in it. And 60 is a powerful thing. The 60 letters of Birkas Koyanim are a powerful thing against Mazikim. Later on in the Sugya on Kuf Yud Aleph or Kuf Yud Beis or so, we're going to have mention of something involving 60, involving Shadim, where we see that the number 60 helps counteract them. So the 60 letters of Birkas Koyanim counteract them. So when you have the number of words in the 3 psukim of Birkas Koyanim, the number of words in the last pasuk is 7. Yisa Hashem Pana Ve'lacha V'yasim Lacha Shalom. Therefore, they say Shalom L'tova Mitzaref L'ra Mitzaref. The cup that corresponds to the word Shalom, to the 7th word of that pasuk of Birkas Koyanim, that only combines for good, not for bad. Meaning that if a person drank 6 cups and then he drinks a 7th one corresponding to the word Shalom, then it takes away the effect of zugos. Now, if later on he drinks an 8th cup, that's not going to be that he's back to having zugos. That's going to be that he had 7, and then later on he had 1, and therefore he's not in danger because of zugos. because the seventh one corresponds to the pasuk shalom, to the word shalom in the pasuk v'yasam l'cha shalom, and therefore it doesn't combine. Avol shita yesh ben mishum zugas, but they say six cups, there still would be a danger of zugas. Rabba v'Rab Yosef d'Ami Tavayu. Then in the next generation, Rabba and Rab Yosef said, so the Rashbam points out, as the Doris, as the generations got later, then the danger of Zugus became less, and therefore they were more and more makel on it. So Rabba and Rab Yosef in the next generation say, V'chuneka l'tovim etzadif l'rolim etzadif. Let's look at the second pasuk of Birkas Kohanim. It has five words, Yor Hashem ponev elecha v'chuneka. So the same idea then, the fifth cup, which corresponds to the word vichuneka, will combine for good, not for bad. So if a person drinks that and then drinks another one after that, then he doesn't have zugus. Because Marsha says, they take the view, you don't just need to look at the end of Birkas Kohanim when you have the full 60 letters. Look at the word vichuneka also at the end of the first pasuk, at the end of the second pasuk. Already then you have a majority of the words and the letters of Birkas Kohanim. So that itself is enough to counteract mazikin. But they continue, if you drink four cups, then you are susceptible to zugus. Then in the next generation, Abaya and Rava both said, no, just the fact you have the first pasuk of Birkas Kohanim has three words, that already combines for good and not for bad. So the only place where you would have a danger, according to them, is where you have two cups. But already, according to them, Marsha says, just the first pasuk of Birkas Kohanim, it's true. The first pasuk doesn't have, you don't yet have a majority of the letters. You don't yet have a majority of the words. Still, it is a pasuk of Birkas Kohanim. It counts, the words and the letters in it count towards the 60. So therefore, once you've reached a cup that corresponds to the number of words in that pasuk, then already we can say L'tovim etzadif and not L'ra. So therefore, according to Abaya and Rava, the only danger is with two cups. Now, we asked before that we started the sugya by saying how do the Chachamim make a takana of arba koisis if it can expose a person to danger, according to what Rava and Abaya are saying over here. What's the question? And then of course there's no problem with saying that four, there's no danger. So there's a couple of answers. The Rashbam explains that the Gemara is going to explain later on that you do have, there's two different, we talked about yesterday, there's two possible sources of danger that a person can be exposed to as a result of zugus. One is shedim or mazikim, and the other one is kishuf. So now, when it comes to shedim or mazikim, those, as we're saying over here in the Gemara, those, Abaya and Rava are saying, once you drank four, then there's no issue with it, because then the third one corresponds to Vishmerecha, and therefore it doesn't combine together to make Zugas. You're still exposed to the problem of Kishuf. So the Gemara had started asking the question that why did the Chachamim make a Takana like that that would expose a person to the danger of Kishuf? So that's one idea. The Chavis Yor also talks about, and the Chavis Yor has a short shuvah on this, where he says also in that connection, somewhat similar to what we said about the difference between a mitzvah and anything else, that it's one thing, we're going to say in a second over here, that Rava himself would allow his Talmidim to leave after four cups, because he figured that Kishuf is a very unlikely possibility. The only possibility is Shadim after, and we're saying after four, you're not susceptible to them anymore. But the question at the beginning was that given that we're doing something for mitzvah, the Dalet Koses are for mitzvah, then the Chachamim should be obligated to take every possibility into consideration, including the possibility that there might be Shadim. Rava could figure, okay, where he is, there's fewer people who do Kishuf, so there's no problem of that. But in the wider world, where you do have Mechashvim here and there, then why aren't the Chachamim concerned about that? And that's why we needed the answers at the beginning of the Sugya. So that's one way of understanding it. Another possibility, some Mefarshim say, listen, I mean, we're saying that Ashbam is saying as the generations went on, the danger became less and less. But okay, when the Mishnah was written, you still had a danger of Mazikim with four as well. So then the Gemara was asking to begin with, so how did the Chachamim of earlier times make that Takana of four? Okay, continues the Gemara. As the Rava l'taymei, now Rava is going according to his own Svara when he says that there's no danger of from Shadim with four. The Rava apkinu l'rabbanan ba'abar kosis. Rava would have his Talmidim, would allow his Talmidim to leave his house after they had drunk four cups of wine. And so he held, in other words, again, that the only possible danger at that point is Kishuf. Kishuf is relatively uncommon anyway, and it may even be that Rava knew that in his area there aren't any people who do Kishuf, so he wasn't worried about that. So the only concern is about Shadim, and he's saying that once you have four, then you're not exposed to the danger from Shadim because the third one corresponds to Vishmerach. And the Gemara continues, even though it actually one time happened that one of the Talmidim, Rava Balivoi, was harmed by a shed after leaving Rava's house, still Rava was not concerned about it. He didn't say, oh, that shows there still is a danger in four. We better not do that from now on. He figured it was a fluke. He said, actually, what it was is Rava Balivoi brought it on himself. That was a punishment that he was given because he used to ask me questions in the Pirka during the drasha. The Pirka is a public drasha that the Rosh Hashiva would give to the Olam, to the public at large. And this Rava, now usually you have, if you want to have questions on it that might slug up what the guy is saying or whatever, then usually you have a little derech eretz and you ask him after the fact. In this case, Rava Balivoi asked them in public, which kind of embarrasses Rava in public, Bishani Barabim, the Rashbam says. So therefore, so Rava says, so that's why he was punished Minashamayim. But it doesn't show that in general a person is susceptible to dangers of Shadim after drinking four cups. Okay. Going on. Amar Rav Yosef, Amarli Yosef Shida. Rav Yosef says that Yosef Shida told me, but Pashtus Yosef Shida means exactly what it sounds like, Yosef the demon. So it would be, in other words, a shed. We learned in Eruvin, we had this Yosef Shida mentioned in Eruvin as well. So one possibility is, yeah, the in Tanya it mentions, based on Zohar, that there are Jewish Shadim and Goyish Shadim. The Alter Rebbe explains in Ches of Tanya that those represent respectively Tivus for things that are Mutter and Tivus for things that are Osir. So that it could mean actually an actual shed by the name of Yosef. Another possibility, some of the Rishonim, some of the Gaonim and Rishonim say it means a human being who was an expert in Shadim, and therefore they nicknamed him Shada. In Eruvin, actually, we had an explanation that maybe this Yosef Shida over there was the Chachamim's derogatory nickname for a Yid who wasn't careful with certain dinim of Shabbos, and therefore, like, they gave him this derogatory nickname, like, as if he's a shed who doesn't care about mitzvahs. So it could be the same thing over here, that maybe we're talking about that this person who was not careful in mitzvahs, and he's telling Rabbi Yosef what his attitude is, what his and people like him, what their attitude is about Zogus. Anyway, so he says to Rabbi Yosef, Ashmedai Malka de Shidi Memunahu Akula Zogi. Ashmedai, the king of the Shadim, is in charge of everything involving Zogus. Meaning, this that we're saying, that when a person drinks Zogus, or eats Zogus, or whatever, then they're in danger. Specifically, that is that Ashmedai is in charge of seeing to it that the person gets what's coming to him. And therefore, the good of that is Umalka lo ikri mazik. A king is not usually mazik. It's usually beneath his dignity to go and cause damage himself. So therefore, that means that the danger of Zugus is not as great as it would otherwise be. So there still is the danger that it exposes a person to danger from Kishuf, from black magic. But nevertheless, you still have that, but at least the danger from Shadim, you don't really have, because Ashmedai is not going to bother. Or that Ashbam says, okay, generally he's not going to bother, but even according to that, sometimes he might. So therefore, you want to be careful, then it's better to be careful. But you don't have to be over-exaggeratedly careful about it, because it's Ashmedai and he's generally not going to bother. That's one version. Ikadamri lo lahai gisa. On the other hand, there are those who take it in the opposite direction. Adraba, malka raschonahu. Adraba, your king is likely to be easily provoked to anger, because a king is used to having his way, my deboy of it, and therefore he could do whatever he wants. So therefore, Adraba, if you say that Ashmedai is in charge of it, there might be more danger than if a regular shed was in charge of it. Shamelach poritz geder lasis lederach. After all, we know in halacha that a king is allowed to break a road through private property in order to go with him and his army and whatever. Ve'ein moichin biyode, and nobody can protest against him. So by the same token, if Ashmedai is in charge of this, then adraba, it means that there's more likelihood that he's going to harm a person than if it was a regular lower ranking shed. Okay. Amar Rapapa, so Rapapa continues in this, Amar Le Yosef Shida, that Rapapa says that the same Yosef Shida told him, betray Katlinan, when a person drinks two cups or eats two things or whatever, then we shade him, can kill him for that. But we don't kill a person who drank four, because we said before that we said before there's not much danger in four. But when a person drinks four, we still have the ability to cause him harm. So that was, we said before there's no danger with four. So what we mean is there's much less danger in four. With two, there's a danger of death. With four, there's just a danger that a shed might beat a person up. And we actually had before where Rava Balivoy, where that happened, where he left Rava's house after four cups, and then he was injured by a shed. And continues, that Yosef Shida told him, here's another point, betray bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid, when a person drinks two cups, then he's susceptible to shade him, whether it was b'shogeg or b'mezid, whether it's that he actually knew that he's drinking two, or whether he just didn't pay attention. Ba'arba, b'mezid ain b'shogeg loy, but with four, only if he drank them b'mezid is he susceptible, but not if he drank them b'shogeg. Bechlal, I mean, we talked about yesterday the idea that many of the Mefarshim say, the idea, the reason behind Zugus is this philosophy that Goyim had in those days, that there are two gods running the world, a god of good and a god of evil. So therefore, when a person drinks two, then he shows that he believes in it, but at least he's not counteracting that in his actions. So therefore, he's much more susceptible to danger from Shadim and from Kishuv. Where after all, the being in danger from Shadim and from Kishuv would be because of a lack of Emunah in the one Eivishter who controls the Shadim and controls the Kishuv. But once a person is up to four, okay, on the one hand, it's an even number, so therefore it's an outgrowth of two, and therefore he is susceptible, but not as much as the actual number two itself, which is the original basis of Zugus. By the way, the Maharsha points out in this connection, we see also where the even numbered days of Maaseh Bereishis were days when something negative happened. On the second day, we said the water was split, which is the first concept of machlokas in the world. You also have it doesn't say kitoiv on that day. Gehenim was created that day. Then on the fourth day, you have the Yehi Ma'oros Bilki HaShemayim, and we learned a few days ago that the word Ma'oros is also spelt Me'eros, which means curses. So there's a disease called Askara, which is diphtheria or some other disease like that, where a person's airway gets blocked off, which the Gemara tells us in Tainus, children are particularly susceptible to it, and the time when people are particularly susceptible to it is Wednesday. So you see that Wednesday also is associated with something negative, and Friday is a day when Adam was cursed, when Adam and Chava were cursed after the Eitz Hadas, and the ground itself was cursed. So therefore, there is a certain negativity to even numbers. Again, once we get to 60, then that's the number of letters in Birkas Kohanim. So therefore, that the Shadim have no power on, which is why we were associating before with the numbers of Birkas Kohanim, with the numbers of words in the Psukim of Birkas Kohanim. But the lower numbers over here, like we're talking about two and four, those do represent something negative. There is, by the way, also it mentions that I think the Gemara mentions someplace that it's better, other things being equal, not to start a new project on Mondays and Wednesdays. For that, Ein Maschil and Bebeis B'Dalad, also related to that idea that those are days of a certain negativity. Continues the Gemara. Now we're saying that if a person drank two kosis b'mezid. Or that whether if a person drank two koses, even b'shoigig, then he can be harmed by shadim and even killed by shadim. So v'e ishtali v'ikri v'nafik. So what happens if a person drank two koses and then he forgot and left? And now he's outside. Now, we said before that if a person stays indoors, then unless he's an Adam Choshuv, then he's in no danger. But if he goes outside, or we said he goes to sleep, the Aruch HaShulchan also adds if he goes to the bathroom, then he's in danger of shadim. So if he forgets and goes out, what should he do? Mai takante, what should he do in order to protect himself? So he should do like this, the Gemara says. Linkut zokfa de yode de yamina be yode de smala. He should hold his right thumb inside his left hand, the zakfa de smala be yode de yamina, and his left thumb in his right hand. So in other words, he has his hands clasped together like this, with each one with the thumb of one hand inside the closed fist of the other. The name Ahochi, and in a way also, you know, we talked about yesterday the idea of a person and many other things in the world are made symmetrical. You have two eyes, two ears, two hands, and so forth. And that itself was what gave the Goyim the excuse to come up with this idea that there are two gods in the world. So therefore, when you hold your hands like that, like you're sort of counteracting that, you're showing that after all, they're all interdependent and they were all created by one Eibishter. So you say like that, the name Ahochi, and you say like this. Atun va'ana va'ana hatlasa. You thumbs plus me equals three. So therefore, there's no zogus. V'ishmielay. Now, what if he overhears a voice? Dama atun va'ana va'ana ha'arba. That says you and I are four. Now, that voice. It doesn't even have to be that. Whatever kind of voice he hears, even if it's a child's voice, even if it's a woman's voice or whatever. It might be that the shed is actually trying to say that in order to have an excuse to harm him. The shed is going to say, no, you know what? We have four altogether over here. So therefore we got four and I have the ability to harm you. So if you hear such a voice, a name alay, then you answer back. No, atun va no ha chamisha. No, you plus me equals five. And also not zogus. Then if you hear a voice, which might be, again, the voice of the shed that says you plus I equals six, namely, then you say you and I are seven. And you keep on doing like that as many times as necessary. So the Gemara says, "Have a uvdad, may have a chad." It happened once that this went all the way up to 101. The guy who had gone out after drinking zugus did that with his thumbs and said, "You and I are three." He overheard a voice of a shed saying, "You and I are four." So he says five. The shed says six. He says seven, and they're going back and forth like that until finally they got to the point where the shed said, "You and I are 100," and he said, "You and I are 101." Upaka shida, and the shed. Burst from frustration that he's not that from such frustration that he's not going to be able to accomplish anything with this guy. Why Davka, when it reached that point of 101, so Marsha says, just like we said before, that 10, there's no susceptibility to Zugus because Hasidu Yekodesh, and 10 represents a new level in numbers. So 100, first of all, represents even more so a new level in numbers. It's already the third power. It's like Trumas Meiser that you get. It's an even higher level of Kedusha. It's not even like Meiser. It's like Trumas Meiser. So therefore, Shed has no power over that. Also, one of the Mephoshim, I think Ben Yehoyada says 101 is the Gematria of Mechol. So therefore, once you have Malach Mechol involved, then already the Shed realizes that now, let's forget about it. He's got no power, and he just bursts from frustration.
Yeah, Rabbi, we learned also in Tanya that 100 is the regular. And 100
is regular, and 101 is extra. That's true. That's as far as reviewing your learning, though. That's true. I don't know if that also applies. I don't know if that also applies over here to trying to counteract the shed. But maybe the idea is that 100 represents a certain shleimus. Yeah, like Marshall says, 100 represents a higher level of shleimus and a higher level of kedusha. And therefore, once they reach that point, then the shed realizes he's not getting anywhere, and then he just bursts in frustration. Yeah. Now going on to the topic of Kishuv. We said before that Ashbam explained before, the Gemara itself is going to explain soon, that Zugus makes a person susceptible also to, besides Shadim, that we were talking about all this time, it also makes a person susceptible to Kishuv. So now let's talk about remedies, about what a person should do to counteract Kishuv. Now, by the way, I mean, you have a person, you know, a person can just take the view in the first place that Kishuv isn't going to be effective against him, and therefore he'll be safe. They have a Gemara in Chulin that tells how one time there was a woman trying to take dirt from under Rav Chanina's feet because she wanted to use that dirt as Kishuv against him, and Rav Chanina tells her, go take whatever you want, Einoid Milavadoi, so your Kishuv will have no power over me. But most people are not on that level, so they need to be careful about it, but the Gemara is going to give us some things to counteract it. So Omer Amema, Omer Li Rishdinhi Denoshim Kashfonius. Amema says the chief, the head woman of the women who do Kishuv, told me the following lachash, the following spell that a person should say Haiman de Pogabo who Benashim Kashfanias, if a person meets up with such women who do kishuf, and he's concerned that they're gonna be able to harm him with their kishuf. So she tells him that the person should say the following lachash. Now, why is she, or of all people, the head of the Nashim Kashfanias, why is she telling him something to counteract that? It could be al derech, like we have, for example, that says the Malach HaMavis gave Moshe the secret of how to use Ketores to stop a plague. So even though his job is to take away people's neshamas and to kill them, nevertheless, by Matan Torah, he gave Moshe Rabbeinu the secret of how to counteract that with Ketores. So it could be the same thing over here. She's the head of the Nashim Kashfanias. She wants to be able to use her kishuf to harm people. But on the other hand, she's also required to tell what you can do to counteract that. Anyway, so she says, Neimaho. So you should say like this, Chori Chamimi, hot tsoya, hot excrement, b'dikula bazia, in a torn basket, lefumaychu, to your mouths, noshi de charashaya, you women who do kishuf. And you continue, korach karchaychi, may your bald spots become bald. In other words, the hair that you use for your kishuf should fall out, and you'll have a bald spot on your head. Porach parchaychi, the crumbs that you use for doing kishuf should fly away. There's a pasuk in Yechezkel that mentions crumbs in connection with kishuf. And one way of understanding it is that it means that they actually use those crumbs in their kishuf. The other way, we learned in Gemara and Erevin, that it means that they were willing to do kishuf even for a pittance, even if a person is just giving them a very small thing, like a couple of crumbs of bread. Anyway, that's one explanation of parach parchaychi. The Rashbam brings a second explanation that parchaychi can also mean the tools, the equipment that they use for their kishuf, and he brings a posik from that same section in Yechezkel that mentions something called perchos. So he says that's the same as perchaychi over here in the Gemara. So it means those instruments that you use for your kishuf should fly away. Ivdur tavlunaychi, may your spices that you use for your kishuf be scattered. Perchazikol amerika chadta dinaktisu. May the wind cause the new saffron that you're holding, which you use for your kishuf, may the wind cause that to fly away. Noshim kashfanias, you women who do kishuf. Ad chanani v'chananchi, as long as min hashamayim they had rachmonos on me, chanani meloshin chen, as long as they had chen and chesed on me, min hashamayim v'chananchi, and as long as you had rachmonos on me, then loy asisi legoi, then I didn't come among you. Hashtada asisi legoi, but now that I've come among you, obviously what happened was korachanani v'chananchi. Obviously, what happened is that min hashamayim. That obviously what it means is there's I have less rachmanos on korchanani. My chain has been cooled off. In other words, that now I don't have as much chain for myself anymore because I was careless to wind up among you. And v'chananchi, and your rachmanos against me has cooled off, and therefore now I'm among you and I'm exposed to danger from you. But now he says this lachash, and that helps protect him against the effect of whatever they might do against him. It's interesting, by the way, in Rashbam over here, you have the sixth line of the narrow lines in Rashbam brings Loshen Acher, another explanation of this Lachash, and it's odd because the Loshen Acher is exactly the same thing, is exactly the same as the previous Loshen. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Going back to Zugis, V'marova le'kafti azugi. In the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they were not particular about zugos. They didn't care over there if you drink an odd number or an even number. They weren't concerned about that danger. It was mostly in Babel that they were concerned about it, or maybe in other places outside Eretz Yisrael. Rav Dimi min Nahavda kofid afila rushma de chavisa. On the other hand, Rav Dimi from Nahavda, where Nahavda is in Babel, he was particular not only about the number of cups or foods or whatever that a person eats or drinks, but even, for example, you make markings on a barrel. So you have, let's say you sell a barrel of wine and you make markings on the side of it to show how many aphos or how many measures of wine there are in there. So Rav Dimi min Hahada would be careful that there shouldn't be an odd, that there shouldn't be an even number of such markings on the barrel. And in fact, have a Ovdo Paka Chavisa. In fact, one time it happened that they had an even number of markings and the barrel burst. So you see, in other words, that the Shadim have the ability to do something with it. However, the Gemara says, Klala de Milsa, here's the bottom line, here's the general klal of it. Kol de Kofid, anybody who's careful about this matter of Zugis, Kapti Bade, then the Shadim are particular about it. And therefore, if one time a person is careless about it, then the Shadim have the ability to get it. As opposed to a Deloitte Kofid, if he's not so careful about it in general, he doesn't care about it in general, like Kafti Bade, then the Shadim are not particular to bother him about it either. However, nevertheless, you still do need to be cautious about it. Which means that Ashbam says, I mean, you can't say that it just means don't be careful about it at all, because otherwise, then we didn't need this whole sugya. The Gemara could have just said to begin with, there's four kosis, and we know that people have the superstition about zugas. Don't worry about it, and the shadim won't bother you about it. The fact that the Gemara doesn't say that, the fact that the Gemara is spending a lot of time over here on this matter of zugas, shows that there is a certain danger even for a person who is not makbid, but we're saying that if a person is more makbid on it, you're more exaggerated more than usual, and then one time he gets careless, then now the shadim have extra ability to harm him. Again, as we said yesterday, nowadays we're not concerned about this matter of zugis, because in general, Tosfos already mentions that in general we don't have shadim among us, and therefore we don't have to worry about it. The last posik who seems to bring it is the tour. I saw it written that actually the Chazanish was careful about that, but maybe we said yesterday in the Gemara that Odom Choshuv is different, but in general we don't find in the last few hundred years anybody being particular about it. Okay, continues the Gemara. Ki Osir of Dimi Omer, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said, Shtei Beitzim, if a person eats two eggs, or Shtei Goizin, or if he eats two nuts, two walnuts or whatever, Shtei Kishurin, or two cucumbers, the Dover Acher, and two of something else, all of those, Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, it's a Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim that those are dangerous. Now, sometimes when the Gemara uses the word Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, it doesn't literally mean that it's something the Ebeshe taught Moshe on Har Sinai. If that was the case, we wouldn't be able to be makel in it nowadays. Sometimes the Gemara uses it in a more loose sense to just mean something which is very, very well established that this is how it is. So in this case, it would be, in other words, Rav Dimi is saying it's very well established that those kinds of things, eggs and cucumbers and nuts, are all plus one other thing, are all dangerous because of Shadim. Now the Chachamim had a suffix. What is that Dover Acher? We're saying there's another thing. What's that other thing? It wasn't specified. Therefore, that is why the Chachamim made this zera of not drinking or eating zugas of anything, because that something might be this other thing, which then exposes a person to danger. And he continues, Vahoda Amoran Asora Tmanya Shita Abba Ein Behem Mishum Zugi. Also, you should know this that we said on Omar Aleph, that Ula had said that 10 is not susceptible, is not a problem of Zugas, and Rav Chista and Rabba Rav Huna had said 8, and Rabba and Rav Yosef had said 6, and Abaya and Rava had said 4 are no danger. So that's all. Loya Moran El in Mazikin. That's only that there's no danger in them, or less danger in them, as far as mazikim, as far as shadim. Aval inin kshofim, but when it comes to kishuf, then afilu tuvanami chashinan, then even when a person has more, even if a person has 10 or more, then there is a danger that noshim kashfonius, that women or other people who do kishuf, might still harm him. Bechlau, you have the Gemara mentions the Gemara mentions elsewhere, I think in Cholin, that the word kishuf is an acronym for machishin pamalia shel maila. So to speak, they weaken the power of the pamalia shel maila, of the entourage of Hashem in Shemaila. Mayim. So in other words, the idea is, obviously it has no effect on Hashem himself, on Atzmo Samahus, but in other words, Kishuv has a certain ability to affect Koiches Elyonim, to affect things involving the Olam HaSelyonim and Malachim and whatnot. So therefore, maybe because of that is why the Gemara is saying over here that there can be something which doesn't, which a person is not susceptible to danger from Shadim, but Kishuf, which is able to reach higher levels than those a person would be in danger of, even beyond 10, even once you reach the number 10, which we said before is a number associated with Kedusha. So the Gemara gives an example. Kihadahu Gavra, the Garshal Advesu, there was an example of a man who divorced his wife, Ozil or Ozla, really, in Sivala Khanva, she went and remarried, and her new husband was an innkeeper. A chanus in the Gemara a lot of times doesn't mean just a regular store. A lot of times, specifically, it means a store where they drink, where they would drink wine. So like more like a bar or a tavern or something like that. So that's what it means over here. Now the Gemara continues. Kol yoma hava ozel v'shosi chamra. Every day, this ex-husband used to go to this tavern and drink wine over there. And have a kaavdalek shofim. His ex-wife, the wife of the tavern owner now, is trying to do kishuf to him. V'loy hava kamahanula. V'loy kamahanula. It was never effective. Mishum to have a mizdaya benafshei the zuga, because this ex-husband was always careful about zugas, so therefore his ex-wife had no ability to do kishuf against him. Yoimachad, until Yoimachad Ishti Tuva, until one day he drank a lot more than usual. Veloy have a yoda kamashosi, and he didn't even know, he couldn't keep track of how much he was drinking. So ad shitzer have a soil. So up till 16 cups, his mind was still clear. The izdar benafshe, and therefore he was careful in himself not to leave after an even number. After 16, he was already muddled and he wasn't clear anymore. So he wasn't careful anymore. But she was carefully keeping track of how many cups he had. So eventually, at some point, when it came to 18 or 20 or whatever, some even number, she sent him off after he had drank zugas. And now her kishuf is able to be effective against him, which is what we're saying. So shadim he's not as susceptible for, because it was already over 10, but kishuf he's still susceptible to. So now he left and he's in great danger from the kishuf. So it started having an effect on him. So the Gemara says ki hava ozel, as he was walking, gasbe hahu taya. A certain tayyah, an Arab, met up with him. Or the Rashbam says two explanations of gaspe. One is that it means that he met up with him. And the other explanation is that he recognized him. He realized that the guy is dangerously sick as a result of the kishuf. Omar, so this tayyah, this Arab, says, Gavrik tila hu da'azalacha. There's a dead man walking over here. So this guy, the poor guy who drank those 18 or 20 or whatever it is, cups of wine, and now was suffering under the effect of kishuf, also chavke ledikla, he went and embraced, he went and hugged a palm tree, because the Rashbam says he was so sick and he was so fearful that he went and grabbed onto a palm tree for support. Savach dikla, the palm tree dried up because of the power of the kishuf, upokahu, and he exploded. So one, on the face of it, what it means is that this guy himself was in the end harmed by the kishuf, and even the tree itself that he was holding on to was harmed and dried up. The word savach, by the way, literally means cried out, but palm trees don't cry out. So everybody says over here that what Rashi and the Rashbam both say that the word is dried up, and on the side over here it says the word shouldn't be savach with a ches, but rather savva with an aleph, which is an Aramaic word meaning shriveled or dried up. So on the face of it, that's what it means, that in the end the guy was harmed by the kishuf that his wife did. Although there is an explanation that I saw that what it means is when he grabbed onto the palm tree, then the power of the kishuf went into the tree instead of him. So therefore the tree ended up drying up, and then what we're saying, well, pokahu, that it, that he or it exploded would actually refer to the shed that was in charge of making sure that Kishuv has an effect on him, that now it exploded in frustration that after all, even after all of that, the guy is, he drank so many zugas and he's susceptible to Kishuv. And he's very sick and weak over there, and the Arab is even telling him there's a dead man walking. Still, after all, he was somehow, without even realizing it, able to transfer the power of the Kishuv to the tree, and therefore the shed exploded in frustration that after all, he can't get this guy.
So it was his wife that gave him that.
So it was his ex-wife.
Okay, his ex-wife.
By the way, though, the Truma Sadeshin learns from this an interesting halacha, and the Ramah brings it in Shulchan Aruch. We see from this, says the Truma Sadeshin, that there's no problem for an ex-husband to visit his ex-wife's house, because we see over here that he's doing it on a regular basis. He's going there every day to drink. And the Gemara is not saying that he was harmed because of that. In the end, he was harmed because of Zugas, implying, in other words, that he wasn't doing anything wrong. So we see that such a thing is allowed. On the other hand, the Taz there says, come on, what kind of proof is that? Over here, you have, the Gemara is telling us he wasn't susceptible all this time because he was careful about Zugas. One time he was careless about Zugas because he drank too much, and therefore she was able to harm him. There's no indication in the Gemara to begin with that what he was doing was allowed up Yalacha. Maybe, in fact, what it wasn't allowed. Maybe, in fact, he shouldn't have been going there in the first place. And, of course, in the end, he did, and her Kishuv was able to be effective on him. So, in fact, the Taz uses a strong expression. He says that Amma shouldn't have even bothered bringing this opinion of the Truma Sadeshin La Halacha, because it can't possibly be correct.
But also, it was a store that her new husband owned, right?
Right, but the point is, she's always there also. It's like, you know, in those times, they didn't necessarily have, you know, in those times, you didn't necessarily have that a place like that is necessarily a separate store. You often had, even nowadays, sometimes you have, you know, where people have a store downstairs and they live upstairs. So it's like it's still part of her house.
Right, but her husband was there. It wasn't like she was there alone with him.
Love Dafka. I mean, the Gemara doesn't say one way or the other whether her husband was there on a regular basis. But it's not a matter of Yichud. Obviously, if it was a matter of Yichud, there's no question. The Truma Sadeshin is not going to hold that Yichud is Mutter. We know that it's Osir. But the, right. we're, he's saying that in this case, yeah, but Pashtus, the husband is around, or at least he's Yoitzev and Nichnas, or he's in the city itself, which at the end of Kedushin, the Gemara tells us that that's a valid reason to not have a problem of Yichud. But nevertheless, so the Truma Sadeshin says, given all that, then evidently just the fact that you could say, well, he's going to her house, isn't that in and of itself a problem? After all, they used to be married, they're familiar with each other. It's very easy for them to hint or wink or make motions or whatever one to the other that the other one is going to recognize and nobody else is. But the Truma Sadeshin is saying it's not a problem. But the Beis Yosef argues that it is a problem, and therefore you need to be machmer. And again, the Taz also argues with the, so that Ramah brings this Truma Sadeshin la halacha, but the Taz takes very strong issue with it. Okay. Continues the Gemara, Amar Abavira, Kairos v'Kikoros in behem mishum zugas. When it comes to plates of food or loaves of bread, then there's no problem of zugas. Klala demil. So the general rule is, kol shegomrei bidei adam, anything which is completed by human hands in behem mishum zugas, then there's no problem. So a plate of food you have to cook. Therefore, there's no problem of zugas with it. The same thing. A loaf of bread is baked by people. Therefore, there's no problem of kishuv with it. Which is one thing we said yesterday, that you have lechem nishna on Shabbos. Why weren't we worried about zugas even in olden times? That's one answer based on this gemara over here. That involves loaves of bread, and we're saying there's no danger in it. So then the question is, in that case, so why is there a danger with cups of wine? Those are also made bidei adam. So there's a couple of answers with that. The Oruch HaShulchan says, okay, very simple. You could say that the danger is that there's more danger in drinks than there is in foods. Foods, we said there's only a few of them. We said in principle there's only a few, but we said there's one that wasn't mentioned in the Halach L'Moshe Mesinai, and we're not sure which one it was, but fine. But we know that they're all natural things, like the eggs and the nuts and the cucumbers that we mentioned over there. On the other hand, with drinks, lav dafka, you could say there's a danger with drinks, even if they're man-made. Another explanation is because, listen, unlike, for example, a cooked dish, you can't eat it raw. Bread, you can't eat the dough raw. Well, I mean, you could, but it wouldn't taste very good. As opposed to with wine, there's nothing preventing you from drinking the wine after it was fresh squeezed or even eating the grapes themselves. So therefore, you can't say that wine is really gomrei bidei adam. You can't say that it's really finished off by human hands, because after all, it was really edible. It was really drinkable before that as well. Anyway, continues the Gemara. So Klolodomil. So Kolsh Gomri Bide Adam Ain Behem Mishum Zogus. If it was completed by human hands, then there's no problem of Zogus in it. Gomri Bide Shemayim. If it was finished by, if it was finished Minashemayim. So, like for example, the eggs or nuts or whatever that are finished naturally, then Bemili Mini Demechal. Then when it comes to things of food, Chayshinan. Then we do have to be concerned because again, we said before that there were eggs, nuts, and cucumbers, and one other thing where there was danger, and that one other thing we're not sure what it was, and therefore we have to be careful about other ones as well. But we know that all of those things. We know that whatever it was similar to those in being man-made, in not being man-made and being a natural product, and therefore it's only a problem with natural products. Next, continues the Gemara, Chanus ein behen mishum zogus. If a person drinks wine in a store or a tavern, like we were saying before, then there's no problem of zogus. Now, we said before, we had the guy with this ex-husband where there was a problem. So again, the Rashbam says that's we're talking about there he was harmed by kishuf. Here we're talking about as far as the danger from shading. So first of all, it was shadim. Also, the difference is that. So what it is like this. Sorry, Rashi and the Rashbam first bring an explanation that when we say chanus ein behen mishum zugas, what it means is if a person drank two cups in one chanus, but rather if he went to one chanus and drank, and then he went to another chanus and drank. Then there's no problem of zogus. Now, we learned yesterday that if a person goes out into the street in between, then anyway, there's no problem of zogus. So, preposterous, we'd have to be talking about over here where these chanuyas are not on the street, where you go, let's say, from the back door of one to the back door of the other. You're not going through the street. So you don't have that. But nevertheless, because it was two separate chanuyas, then there's no problem of zogus. That's the first explanation. Then Rashi and the Rashbam both bring a second explanation, which is that if a person drinks two cups in a chanus, then in one chanus, then there's no problem because it's not considered a kvius. Because the whole point is when you're going to be drinking and you have a kvius that I'm going to be drinking X number of cups, then there's danger. But in a chanus, you don't have, you're only going to have as much, you're only going to have as much as the bartender is going to give you. Only as much as the bartender has available. So you don't know always how many you're going to have. So it's not considered a kvius. Now, as far as the guy over there with his ex-wife, that was a matter of kishuf. That was she did kishuf, and we said that kishuf is much more has much more powers as far as this than shading do. Continues the Gemara. Nimalach ein behem mishum zogus. If a person drank and then decided not to drink anymore, then he changed his mind and decided to drink some more. Also, there's no problem of zogus, because those new ones that he drank don't count with the old ones. Oirach ein behem mishum zogus. A guest in somebody's house, there's no issue of zogus for the same reason as we said before. The guest doesn't know how many cups of wine he's going to be served, so therefore, every cup it's like nimlach. Also. Isha ain't b'mashum zugas. If a woman drinks zugas, then there's no problem because women are not usually so choshuv that shadim should go and try to harm them. V'i isha chashuva. But if she's an important woman, chashinan, then we have to be concerned because then the shadim may try to harm her. Okay, another one. Amar of chinan abred of Yeshua. Here's another thing about zugas. Ispargus mitstaref latova v'ein mitstaref lara. Ispargus, Rashi describes based on a Gemara in Brachos that they used to drink it every morning. There was something they would drink every morning. The Rashbam gives more detail. The word ispargus means cabbage. So they had a kind of drink made from cabbage mixed with wine, and they would drink it every morning before they ate breakfast as a refuah. So it's a matter of refuah. So therefore, mitzvah flatova and mitzvah flara, it combines with regular cups of wine for good, not for bad. Meaning, like we said before, so if a person drank two cups of regular wine and a cup of asparagus, or vice versa, a cup of asparagus and two cups of wine, then it combines together with them for good. And we say, therefore, he drank three cups. On the other hand, if he drinks one cup of asparagus and one cup of regular wine, it doesn't combine for bad. Then we consider it's one and a separate one, not two. And therefore, there's no danger of zogus. Continues the Gemara. Amar Avinah Meshmei D'Rava Zugi L'Chumra. If a person is not sure whether he drank zugas, then he should be machmir and drink one extra one. Now, what does that accomplish? If he actually drank Zugus, then good. That takes away. Now it's an odd number. If he had actually drunk an odd number, then because he didn't originally plan to drink this one, so therefore it's Nimlach. And we just said a few lines ago that Nimlach, if he changes his mind, then it doesn't combine. So therefore, either way, he'll be good. Either he winds up with an odd number or he winds up with an even number, but we don't count that one as part of the even number. That's one version. Of Amrila Zugi Lakula. Others say just the opposite. If you have a suffix, whether you drank Zugis, be makel. Don't drink another one. Because we said earlier on the Amud that if a person is makbid on Zugis, then the Shadim are more makbid on him. And if one time he gets careless, then they have an ability to attack him, as opposed to if not, then not. So if a person is not sure whether he drank Zugis and he says, you know what, so I can't be bothered, then that shows that he's not so makbid on Zugis. Therefore, it's more likely, according to the second version, that the Shadim won't harm. Another thing about this, another thing about combining together cups, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Trei dechamra v'chad deshichra, if a person drank two cups of wine and one cup of beer, loy mitzdan, if they don't combine together, so he still is in danger of zugus because of the two cups of wine. On the other hand, Trei deshichra v'chad dechamra, if he drank two cups of beer and then one cup of wine, mitzdan, if then it does combine together, and now he's out of the danger of zugus. V'simonach, the way to remember this is a din in connection with the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara. Different kinds of materials, when it comes to Tumas Midras, when it comes to how large a piece of a certain kind of material is needed in order for it to be Mekabel Tumas Midras, the Tumah, when a Zav sits or stands or leans or whatever on it, it depends on the size of the material. With cloth, it's 3x3 tefachim. With sackcloth, which is a coarser kind of cloth, it's 4x4. With a mat, Rashi and Rashbam both bring over here mapats versus machzelas. The actual Mishnah in Kalim that we're going to be referring to actually mentions something different. So maybe they had a different girsa, but all girsa of the Mishnah mentions that that leather the shear is 5x5 tefachim, and a mapat. So a mapatz or machzelas, they're two different words for a mat made out of reed, the shear is 6x6. Meaning, in other words, if you have, let's say, for example, with the mat, if you have a piece less than 6x6 tefachim, even if a zav sits on it or stands on it or whatever, it's not makabel tumah. But the Mishnah says that, now let's say you took a piece of leather that was smaller than the proper size. It was smaller than 5x5 tefachim, and you attached a piece of something else to it to bring it up to the shear of 5x5 tefachim. Is it makabel tumah or not? So the Mishnah says, Zaklal, kol ha-machubur lo, whenever you attach something to it, mina chomu mimenu, if it's something more stringent, tome, then it's makabel tumah. So for example, cloth is more stringent than leather, because cloth is makabel tumah only 3x3 tefachim. Leather is 5x5. So if you had, let's say, a piece of leather, 4x5, and then you attach to it a piece of cloth, 2x5, so now the whole thing is 5x5, then it's makabel tumah, because now you attach something which has a stronger ability to be makabel tumah. But if you attach something that's more lenient, then it would be tahor. So for example, if you took this piece of leather and attached to it a piece of a mat, so you had a piece of leather, let's say 3x5, and you attached to it a piece of a mat, 2x5, then it wouldn't be makabel tumah, because that mat itself is only makabel tumah in a larger amount, 6x6, unlike the leather, is 5x5. So therefore, the leather is more chomer and the mat is more kal than the leather. Therefore, it doesn't combine together. So therefore, it's not makabel tumah. So we can use that. Rabbi Yosef says to help remember this thing about beer and wine when it comes to zugus. Beer is cheaper than wine. So therefore, if a person drank two cups of wine and now he wants to drink a third cup in order to counteract zugus, but that third cup is going to be beer, no good. That would be the equivalent of taking a mat, which is more kal, which is cheaper and less important, and attaching it to a piece of leather. Over there, it's not makabel tumah, so over here, it doesn't help against zugus. On the other hand, if he does the other way around, two cups of beer and a cup of wine, then you have then the wine is more important than beer. So therefore, that's the equivalent of taking a piece of cloth and attaching it to the leather, where there it does bring up the shear to be makabel tumah. And the same way over here, it brings it up to that now you have three and there's no zugus. Another thing, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav, Trei Kamataka, if a person drinks two cups of wine before the table was brought, as we learned earlier in the Perek, in those days, they had small tables that were brought individually to the person. So if a person drinks two cups of wine before the table is brought to him, V'chad Ataka, and then he drinks one more after the table is brought, Mitztarfi, then they combine together. But chad mikame taka with trei ataka. But if he drinks one before the table is brought, and then another two after the table is brought, loy mitztarfin, then they don't combine, and therefore he's in danger of zugus because he drank two while the table was there. But the Gemara says maskifla Rav Mesharshia. Rav Mesharshia asks on that. He says, how could that be? Otu anan l'sakune taka kabainan. What do we care whether the table is there? We're not concerned with fixing up the table. We're concerned. What we're trying to figure out is the person susceptible to danger or is he okay? But gavra kamisak and mekoi, the person himself, he drank three cups, so he's good. What's the problem? Who cares that it was only two of them after the table was brought? El Amar Rav Mesharshia, but Rav Mesharshia says the kulei alma trei ataka v'chad labosa taka lemitztarfi. Everybody would agree. Fine, we can talk about whether before and during the meal combines, and Rav Mesharshia says that they do. But during the meal and after it, definitely don't combine. So if he drank two while the table was there, then they took away the table, and then he drinks a third one, that for sure doesn't help, and therefore he's still in danger from zugus. Ki ahi maisa de Rav Bar Nachmeni, as we have the example of the story of Rav Bar Nachmeni. The Gemara tells us in Baba Kama a story where people masered on Rabba, and the government sent police to arrest him, so he had to run away. In the end, the Gemara says that actually the investigator, the chief of police, who was in charge of this mission to find Rabba, eventually what happened was he and Rabba were staying at the same inn. And the guy ordered lunch, and with it he was drinking wine. And the Gemara tells he drank two cups, and not realizing the danger of mazikim that we're talking about over here in our Gemara, then his face was turned around by mazikim, and he was in danger of that they were harming him. So the innkeeper asks Rabba what to do. How do you help the guy? And Rabba tells him you have to bring back the table and give him a third cup of wine. So we see that Rabba is telling them you have to bring back the table. It's not just good enough to give him a third cup. That wouldn't work to counteract zugus. And the Gemara continues over there that sure enough the guy was cured, and then he was grateful enough to Rabba that he said I'm not going to arrest you, but you do have to get out of here. And then the Gemara continues with the story over there. So we see therefore that if a person drinks two by the table and one after the table is removed, then it doesn't combine together, and that you have to bring back the table. Okay. Another thing about what drinks combine and don't combine as far as zugus. Amar of Yehuda Amashmul, kol hamozug mitstarif, all drinks that are mixed, then they combine together. So Rashi says, let's say a person drank wine. If a person drank wine and then he drank more wine, which is also mixed with water after the meal, or the Rashbam adds also if he drinks a different mixed drink, so they combine together, whether l'ra or whether l'toiva, because the fact that they're mixed makes them all like one kind of drink. Chutz min amayim, except for water. If you have, let's say, you started with hot water and you poured in some cold water to cool it off, or vice versa, that doesn't count as a mixed drink. It's all water. So therefore, so that wouldn't combine together. Rabbi Yechanan says even water that's mixed combines. But Amar Papa, even Rabbi Yechanan would say that loy amoran el chamimi legoy kriri or kriri legoy chamimi. Rabbi Yechanan would say that fine. If you have, you started with a cup of cold water and then you mixed in some hot water, then it counts as a mixed drink, and then it combines together, for example, with mixed wine. Or kriri legoy chamimi, or the other way around. You had a cup of hot water and you poured in some cold water to cool it off. Av chamimi legoy chamimi or kriri legoy kriri. But if you pour hot water into more hot water or cold water into more cold water, even Rabbi Yechanan is not going to say that sort of thing is called mozug, that it's called a mixed drink, then it's not, and then it doesn't combine together with any previous drinks, l'ra or l'toiva. Okay, we're done now with the matter of zugus, and then the Gemara is going to continue with various other things involving danger from shadim and different other things of that sort. So that'll be tomorrow's subject, Bez Hashem.
Shekoyach.